Dedicated to preaching and teaching the whole counsel of God from all of God's inerrant word, this is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are considering today on Abounding Grace the Olivet Discourse from Mark chapter 13, where Jesus is answering certain questions by his disciples when they were told that the temple would be destroyed. They were confused about this. What did this mean for Israel? What would be the sign of his coming and the end of the age? When would these things take place? All of this is meant to sort of forecast the future, when the end, when he would come again to judge the living and the dead. And that is so important for us. This is a message today that helps us think through the end times and the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How to be ready servants, looking for and hastening, as Peter says, the coming day of God. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, please visit us on the web at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number's 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. Find us on Facebook. We'd love to hear from you. All of your support, 100%, goes to continue to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. Here's the message that I have titled The Great Tribulation from Mark chapter 13. This is part two of the message that we started yesterday. You can find the first part right at agradio.org. We hope that Abounding Grace Radio is a great blessing to you. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. And I spent a lot of time reading and thinking about this week, and I can't help but to think that all of history has taught us about this. That you particularly have referenced here known way throughout history, Satan's Antichrist activity. We don't realize how much is going on behind the scenes. We don't think about it enough. But the very first abomination of desolation, you could say, occurred where? In the Garden of Eden, where Satan comes into the holy place. Satan exalts himself over God's word. Satan seduces away the servants. And you remember what happened. The whole thing then plunged us into a judgment that we have faced right after. You have this repeated throughout history. You can see it at the Tower of Babel. You can see it in something like Isaiah 13, where he says, "How you have fallen from heaven," speaking to the king of Babylon, "O star of the morning, son of the dawn, how you have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend on the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." All throughout history, this figure that will come and exalt himself over God in the holy place is described over and over and over and over for us. In Daniel 11, it says, "His armed forces will rise up to desecrate the temple fortress, will abolish the daily sacrifice, worship. Then they will set up the abomination that causes desolation. Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall magnify and shall exalt himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished." There it is again. Daniel here talked about a pagan king who would come, defile the sanctuary, speak blasphemies against God, exalt himself over God. Well, in 168 BC, this happened. Epiphanes desecrated the temple. He built an idol altar upon God's altar. Right on in there, he killed pigs, unclean, offered a sacrifice upon the holy altar in the holy place. I believe that's what Jesus is having them think about. They saw this in history. They've seen this in history.
Jesus tells us that what Daniel prophesied is going to find fulfillment throughout history. Now think about the particular situation they're faced with, the destruction of Jerusalem. Inscriptions have been found in Ephesus and Salamis in Cyprus attributing worship to Nero as almighty God and Savior. The Romans entered the temple under the warrior Titus and actually took away all the vessels, the lampstand, and they utterly burned down the temple. When the Roman legions destroyed Judea and Jerusalem in AD 70, you know what Josephus says happened? 1,100,000 Jews died. That's his record. He says more than 100,000 were taken captive. Not only the temple was utterly destroyed, the land was ravished. Listen to Luke 21:20. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, you know that its desolation is near. You can look. You can see. Why is Jesus and how is Jesus helping them? And that's why it's important to hear his word of preservation that he's giving through this and how that is so important for us. As I was thinking about all these things and thinking, how do you preach this? I kept coming to the question about what do we feel about the future as we go forward right now? And the reality is, as I think about my children, I think about the future, it is really easy to fall into fear, isn't it? Our whole society is governed by it. The news plays on it. We're gripped by it. We live in it. We're worried. We're stressed. We're all concerned about the what ifs. I just heard a news commentator saying, what could happen if this nuclear button goes off and these problems with the U.S. and Iran? You have fears about the future? Of course you do. We think about it. How's this going to go? We look at the house of cards that we live in right now. We've seen all this stuff in history. We've seen Antichrist throughout history. We've seen destruction. We're reminded at times to think about even things like the Holocaust. Did that really occur? Yes, it occurred. And I want to pause now and say, what is Jesus doing in the midst of this? What is his goal in the midst of this? Why is he telling us this stuff? Well, notice that in the heart of what we call devastating times, when great things happen that we can't explain, times of upheaval, times of persecution, that Jesus desires to shepherd. That's what I couldn't get out of my head in this. Caring word of preservation now follows. Look at verse 15. This is his concern. Let no one who is on the housetop, let the one who is on the housetop not go down, nor enter his house to take anything out. And let the one who is in the field not turn back to take his cloak. Listen to his concern. In the midst of what would have been absolutely distressing for the disciples, when you face things that you can't understand, that make no sense in this world, and the madness of it all, the destruction that comes, the craziness and the things that we know are working behind the scenes of Satan's utter goal to wipe out the human race and destroy, and then his working to destroy inside the church. Dear disciples, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, know judgment's happening. First piece of advice, first shepherding care, don't go get your stuff. In other words, don't hold on. Don't hold on to this. Don't hold on to this. This is how Luke puts it. On that day, about Jerusalem, Let no one who is on the housetop with his goods in the house not come down to take them away. And likewise, let the one who is in the field not turn back. And here's how you know how to interpret that. The next verse. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will keep it. Remember Lot's wife? Lot is being pulled out of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot himself had to have his hand grabbed by the angels and pulled out. And God delivered him and said he's righteous. But his wife looked back, became a pillar of salt. And what was the message in that? What was Jesus saying in this? He was saying very clearly a reminder, you're not a part of this judgment. You're not a part of this. Don't hold on to it. That's not your home. This is not your home. That's what he's saying. You think we need that? How much confusion about the times in which we live? Haven't Christians struggled with where they belong and if their home is here in this place in the United States and how we relate to all this? You see this when disasters happen. The hardest thing for people when a tornado's coming or a hurricane is to leave, isn't it? They don't do it. You can have governors stand up and say, get out, get out, get out. They don't go. They just don't do it. Don't be confused by all the stuff that's happening. Your home's not of this world. You don't belong here. Don't look back to these things. If it's all ravished and taken, it's not yours anyways. This is not your home. I've got something way better for you. If you understand that, what this is then is a promise of deliverance. That's what this is. And look at what follows. Look at the compassion of what he says next in his concern about, notice here, women. But alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. Pray that it might not happen in winter, for in those days there will be such tribulation. Don't hold on. Pray. Well, that's very, very practical, isn't it? Very, what a shepherd, isn't it? Don't hold on. Pray to me, and I'll change the weather for you. Oh, come on. Yep. In my providence, I'll protect you. I'll deliver you. I'll help you. When God's people cry to him, he'll providentially order things. And haven't you seen this in your life? I mean, think about it. You know how much we pray, and then we doubt, and we pray, and he answers. Well, pray. Pray to him. Flight's going to be hard for the weak. When times like this, there's going to be the weak among us, the elderly. Think of the elderly who can barely move. Think of the weak among us, the women who are nursing. He's concerned about these people. That's the point of this. This is what his heart is set on. That's what you should see. His compassion for the weak in times of great upheaval and in times of awful things happening to say, I am going to care for you. That's the message here. Pray to me. The vulnerable, the weak, his people. He gives a shepherding caution, doesn't he? And please don't take the passive approach with regard to truth. Please don't be passive and ignorant when it comes to deception. You can't afford to be. This is why I pray for discernment. Our Christianity can no longer afford to be skin deep. It just can't. Open your minds to the scriptures. Because there are, at moments like this, when times are bad and things are going on, the devil works overtime to deceive people. Oh, he works overtime. There's going to be people rising up saying, they're the deliverer. They're going to rise up, and they're going to be the ones to solve all these problems. Don't listen to that. No. Don't believe it. I'm your deliverer, and you won't miss me. I'm going to come and get you. You know, I was thinking of Donald Gray Barnhouse's application to this message, and I've used it here once before, but I think it's so helpful that he was asked to preach at one of the largest churches in Ireland who were full of soldiers who were going to war since Hitler had invaded Danzig, and everyone knew that he's sitting in front of a full house, packed house of people, of men who are going off to war who are going to die. Many of them who he's preached to, last sermon they would hear, are going to die. What do you say? Someone said to Barnhouse, I hope you have a really good sermon today. Maybe the last some of these men will ever hear. This guy said, I'm so glad I don't have to preach. The church will be full of lads who will never come back from the war. So Barnhouse grabbed the Olivet Discourse. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do not be alarmed. And explaining the devastation and the horrors of the war, he said, millions of homes will be broken up. Don't be alarmed. Children will be torn from their mothers and represent all the wails that have ever gone up from all the world. Don't be alarmed. Jesus said, don't be alarmed. He says, well, about this time, the tension had grown in the church so much that monstrous grief had been piled on agonizing horror, and Barnhouse stopped. And he said, these are the words of either a madman or they're the words of God. He shook his fist toward heaven and cried, God, unless Jesus Christ is God, these are the most horrible words that could ever be spoken to men who have hearts. Men are dying, don't be alarmed. Children are crying in misery with no beloved face in sight. Do not be alarmed. How can Jesus say such a thing? And Barnhouse goes on to preach, Jesus is God. He's the Lord of history. And there is nothing that has ever happened or will happen that is not under his sovereign control. Men kill and hate one another. That's the reality under the sun. Yet in the midst of history is Jesus, the Christ. And all those who believe in him will know the resurrection and the life, that nothing can separate us from his love. Watch. How did it go for them in the days of Jerusalem? Well, Eusebius records it. If it's true, here's what he records. The whole body, however, of the church at Jerusalem, having been commanded by a divine revelation, Mark 13, given to men of approved piety, therefore, there, before the war, removed from the city, they left, and dwelt at a certain town beyond the Jordan called Pella. It's very remarkable, said another, that not a single Christian perished in the destruction of Jerusalem. Vespasian, as was approaching with his army, all who believed in Christ left Jerusalem and fled to Pella and other places beyond the River Jordan. And so they marvelously escaped the general shipwreck of their country. Not one of them perished. Point is, they listened to his shepherding word to them. That's a model for us. That's the word for us. Why does it matter? Everything that happened from the Garden of Eden to the Tower of Babel to the King of Babylon to the time of Daniel to AD 70 to the end. Now we hit the final mountain. And one pastor wrote, the divine judgments in history are successive incarnations of Antichrist and are foreshadowings of the last supreme concentration of rebelliousness of the devil before the end. Well, what's going to happen? I think John said it so clearly that little children, it's the last hour. And you've heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. John is saying, look, the time's at hand. And through the destruction of Jerusalem, you can look at the end. And what is the single passage we'll close with this morning that helps us to understand the end? It's 2 Thessalonians 2. Think of all the language they use here of everything that we've just considered this morning. Now concerning, brothers, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, concerning the end of the world, in other words, we ask you, don't be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by word or by spirit or by letter, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God or that's worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. See how they're using it? Same thing. It's the fullness of all Antichrist activity throughout history. What will that be? Who will that be? I have no idea. I don't even know what it's finally going to look like. No idea. But I think the message is clear. The church, the people of God, before the Lord comes, will be ravished with all kinds of false ideas, will be ravished with false figures and false prophets. There will be ideas of Antichrist and a system of the world. Think of the system of the world. Think of what everyone unites in the world, and it's viewed as noble and good and right causes. The system of the world will overtake into the church. Jesus is saying, don't believe every spirit. Test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Discernment is so important. But Jesus is ultimately telling us, be ready. Be ready. Whatever the case, the same words of comfort all throughout history spoken to his sheep are for you too. Don't look back. Don't hold on to the United States. Don't hold on to this system that's perishing. I've got an entire kingdom prepared for you. For you weak, for you mothers nursing, for you mothers who are pregnant, for you elderly, for you down and outs, I'm not going to forget you. I'm going to deliver you. I promise. I'll protect you. I'll help you. Think of our little children. I put my sign on them. I love them. I'm not abandoning them. Galatians 1, he gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. And then love this, I promise to cut those days short. If I didn't cut them short, no flesh would be saved, but I promise. I'll cut them short. So don't be given to fear and worry. Don't look for other deliverers. No president can save us. As lightning comes from the east or the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. You won't miss it. These are the words I want you to take with you. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm, hold fast to the teachings we passed to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. And then when he comes, we enter a kingdom that there will no more be any crying, No more sorrow. No more suffering. None of this misery. It will be a place where righteousness shall dwell forever. And so until then, pray to him. Trust him. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's coming back to get you.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.